I love people, mm-hmm. and I think that I show them that every time I do their hair. I mean, I do someone's hair like I would want my hair done, and somebody to care for me like I'm caring for them. I think that's what's missing in life right now is just the listening part. You know, we're still people, and we like to be listened to.
Welcome to the Legacy Project. My name is Jim Koppel, president of the Servant Forward Foundation. We're an organization committed to leadership development with a specific focus on service. This podcast and its related activities are about sharing the legacy we have inherited and discussing the legacy we still want to create. Legacy is more than cars, houses, boats, and material possessions that we want to leave to the next generation. Rather, legacy is about core values and beliefs that we inherited from a previous generation. They are the values that shaped us and defined us. Legacy is also about the values we develop or create that can be passed on or shared with the next generation. We will interview people from various backgrounds and walks of life. Some are famous, some, well, maybe not so famous, and others are simply our neighbors, our friends, people who live ordinary lives doing extraordinary things. Become part of this project by being intentional about legacy. More than just memories, but principles that have guided our lives and shaped our decisions. What is the legacy you choose to create? That's what we want to discover. My name is Jim Koppel. I'm with the Legacy Project, and we're interviewing Ann Welsh. She's an individual I've known for about 26 years. In fact, Ann Welsh has cut my hair, been my hairstylist for 26 years. And in that 26 years, really, there's only been three times when somebody else cut my hair. And when that happened, I felt like I was having an affair. Ann has been a good friend, and I'm really honored that she's agreed to talk to us on the Legacy Project. Ann, where were you born? Where'd you come from?
Carbondale, Pennsylvania.
Yeah. What did your parents do?
My father was a bank teller at Liberty Bank in savings, mm-hmm. savings and loan. And my mother was a factory worker for many children dress companies
in that area.
Pennsylvania,
yeah.
Yes.
So, when did you move to Washington?
1977, I graduated high school. And then I moved shortly after, I believe I was like 19 or 20 years old when I moved to Washington, D.C.
Mm-hmm.
I knew that there was other things that I needed to be doing and growing and... I wasn't going to do it in Pennsylvania.
Yeah. Carbondale's kind of a small city.
Very small town, 20,000 people, probably grown now, but it's not, it's just a small town.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Nice people, but small town.
What attracted you to Washington?
There was so many exciting things in Washington, and I knew that I always wanted to leave Pennsylvania. And I had a cousin that lived down here, and so that was my opportunity to go and live with she and her husband. Her husband was in medical school, went to Georgetown, and so I stayed with them for a little while and then got my own place. Mm-hmm. But because I was a hairstylist, I was able to get a job very easily and, you know, develop into the area mm-hmm. without too much trouble.
At what point in your life did you decide to be a hairstylist?
Pretty young, pretty early on. My mom always wanted to be a beautician, as they called them back then. And, you know, she didn't have the means to do that. So she had talked to me when I was young and kind of, I wouldn't say it's brainwashing, but I think suggesting that it would be good to have something that you could, a profession that you could have mm-hmm. and take just about anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And at that time, not many women did other anything but school teaching, you know, teaching school and without much of an education. I mean, but I knew there were other things out
yeah.
there.
Who were the biggest influences in your life as a child and growing up?
Well, my parents certainly were influential, but, you know, because they didn't have much, but they did the best what they could do with what mm-hmm. they had. And they always, I felt like I was rich.
Mm-hmm.
Without having large things, and I think that's important. It's it's something that comes from how proud you are. And we were Irish descent family, and everything was about pride and how well you did things.
You had siblings?
Yes, I had one brother. Mm-hmm. He was younger than me. And my mother had a miss in between us, so mm-hmm. I think she would have loved to have a larger family, but mm-hmm. that was not in the cards.
Yeah. No. So you moved to Washington. Did you have a vision for eventually owning your own shop?
Or? Yes, I always had a vision. Mm-hmm. But because I didn't have the monies to have what I thought I would really want, because I worked in some nice salons, and I knew that to take care of my clientele, I wanted to be really beautiful and mm-hmm. just accommodating, and I just always dreamed that one day I might do that, and I'd like to have a partner because I was by myself. Mm-hmm. So then eventually I got married, and now I have a partner that's in the business with me, and it all kind of worked out.
Yeah. How long have you been here at this location?
See, I don't remember. 20-some years old.
Really?
20-some years,
wow.
I think so.
Hmm.
Yeah, 18 or 20, something like that.
So you've obviously had a number of stylists working for you and
yes.
with you over the years.
Yes.
How do you see your relationship with the stylists that you've worked with?
It's a wonderful thing to be able to. I do a lot of mentoring and trying to take care of people, because I think there's a lot of people out there that want people to work with them but not necessarily grow them. And mm-hmm. I don't believe in holding anybody back.
Mm-hmm.
I think that everybody has their growth potential, and then they go off and do their own thing or whatever. But it's hard, because you build a business and then people leave, but you have to keep growing them. You have to keep having them have an interest in the business and learning and constantly growing, mm-hmm. feeling as if they're growing, not just you.
Yeah. Is there any kind of sort of intentionality when you're interviewing someone for a position that you see things that they can improve on, things that you might be able to help them with?
There's always, but they have to have the want to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that, if you handle it nicely, they can see that they can grow and the potential of it.
Mm-hmm.
Because there is a great potential in this industry. In people making their own living and doing better than they ever thought that they would do.
Mm-hmm.
And it's nice to be able to share that,
yeah.
That knowledge.
You may not have a precise number, but of the women that have, or men that may have worked with you, how many of them have gone on to open their own place?
Some of them are independent, mm-hmm. working with other people, renting a chair or whatever. There's been a lot of people that stayed with me because of, the convenience. A lot of them now have had children, and, it's hard running a business when you have children and dependents and things like that. So I had to learn to do that because of, so many stylists that I had that were taking the plunge into, getting married and having children and all. And it kind of, it was hard for me to try to juggle that, but I think we have, and it's been a good feeling. Now we have the, the kids coming in and,
yeah.
Seeing them grow and we keep our mm-hmm. our stylists for a long time.
Yeah. For you, what's the most satisfying thing about being a stylist?
The feeling you give people when you take care of them, and the stories you hear about, their lives. You see them once a month, once every 6 weeks, and there's just a lot of good feelings. You make friends. I just came back from a wedding shower of a young gal that her whole family's come in for years. It's, there's nothing that's quite like it.
Mm-hmm.
The relationships that you build are very, very important.
What do you feel you give them?
I give them myself. I give them my attention.
Mm-hmm.
I give them, respect and, just love. I can't explain it. It's, I love people.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that I show them that every time I do their hair. I mean, it, I do someone's hair like I would want my hair done, and somebody to care for me like I'm caring for them. Mm-hmm. You know, and that does, you know, you have some people come in that are sad, and you have to kind of take them around, and I think that's what's missing in life right now is just the listening part. You know, we're all influenced by everything going on, and you know, we're still people, and we like to be listened to.
And so that's a gift you give to your clients, people.
Oh,
you're a listener, and they can talk.
And they can talk all day long.
Mm-hmm.
Yes,
yeah.
And I learn something from them, and that's what happens. People don't realize, but when people talk to you, you learn so mm-hmm. much if you take the time to listen.
What are the things you've learned?
Oh, just that you win people's trust.
Mm-hmm.
And today, trust is another thing that is really not around as much.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's just caused.
Yeah. So you're a consistent, constant presence in somebody's life.
Yes.
They come to depend on you and to trust you. That's an important relationship.
Dad. Yes. Mm-hmm. I feel guilty when I'm not there, and I haven't mm-hmm. been as of lately because mm-hmm. I've had some challenges myself, health challenges, and it really hurts my feelings that I am mm-hmm. not there for them. There's lots of things that are going on, and I can't do what I normally can do,
mm-hmm.
which is be there and just, support people.
I look at you as an entrepreneur, somebody that started your own business, expanded your business. What's it take to be an entrepreneur?
I question that every day. it's just getting up and doing the next thing that needs to be done and trying your best mm-hmm. and hope that you're succeeding.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think you're always questioning things of how you do things and how you make things work, and I believe that it's good to ask your staff how you're doing and, what you can do better. I'm not on that ladder of I can't ask anybody, because I mm-hmm. think, you really have to ask in order to know.
Yeah.
But my husband helps me a lot. He's my partner, Tom, and it just helps to have a partner, because
mm-hmm.
you get to ask back and forth what we can improve on.
Mm-hmm.
So
I know starting any business is a risk. What are some of the risks you've experienced in this profession?
Well, every time you go through change, like the gals downstairs all starting to have babies, and
mm-hmm.
knowing how you could keep supporting the staff, and some are off on maternity leave. We had them all at the same time because they're all about the same ages. So it was interesting, but that's what you build with the stylist that you hire.
Mm-hmm.
There's some really hard workers out there. People don't realize that
mm-hmm.
that being in this business, you're a lot on your feet, and you're accommodating all these clients, good, bad, and different days.
Mm-hmm.
But you make fun out of it.
Mm-hmm.
You make fun with it. It's a challenge, but yet you get a lot of good feelings out of
yeah.
it when it's all done.
This is Jim Koppel with Servant Forge SAI, the Legacy Project, and we're talking to Ann Welsh. We look at entrepreneurs and leadership, and Ann has been a leader in this profession, and we're glad to have her a part of this conversation. And when you are hiring a person or an individual, I read a statement actually early this morning that it is always better to hire people you can train skills. Would you agree with that statement in your profession?
For the most part, I would.
Mm-hmm.
There's some people who just weren't given the opportunity, and it's always good to find that person, because when somebody is given an opportunity and have the drive that they never showed that they could have, it's a really rewarding feeling
mm-hmm.
to see them grow and develop as a person. So, there's a lot of good people out there. I mean, we focus on all the bad people, but there's a handful of those, and the
mm-hmm.
general public are pretty mm-hmm. good-natured and hardworking.
This may not be an accurate observation, but I've been coming here for 25 or 26 years, and I notice periodically either somebody who was washing hair or somebody who's been a receptionist at your desk is now cutting hair.
Yes.
Is that something you've encouraged? Or?
It's something that I want them to know that they can make a better living if they have the desire to train, and we kind of concentrate on moving them forward. Because there are great possibilities. Sometimes it doesn't work out, but for the most part, I mean, they've grown and developed, and they're able to buy houses and cars and take care of a family a lot easier than they would if they struggled doing the same job all their life and develop their whole life. You know,
that's something you encourage.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, we do.
Keep growing.
Yes.
Yeah.
So. Learning and growing is the most important thing you can do all your life. And it's not always easy because a lot of people have to struggle along the way, but I think it's important that you let them try.
So throughout your career, independent of your family, how would you summarize the most important legacy that you've inherited?
I try to be honest. I try to be fair. I try always. I mean, I'm a human being, so we all have our faults. But I try to always learn what works and what doesn't work. And I think if you're always growing in a positive direction, you'll learn that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And Washington, D.C. or Virginia, this whole area, there's a lot of fast-paced things going on, but there's a lot of value here too, because we see people from all over the world, and I think we need to key in on that we can learn from all people.
Mm-hmm.
And I was from a small town. I didn't really like being from a small town where everybody was the same and they did the same stuff. And I just think it's really interesting, and I attract people all the time that are from different cultures and different lives because it interests me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think that it should interest everybody, but it that's not me to say. It's
so diversity is a good thing.
I love diversity.
Yeah.
You know, as long as people are hardworking and really try to be productive and try to do their best, I mean, what else can you ask from them?
Yeah.
You know, they bring something to the whole picture, I think.
Yeah. So as you think and reflect on your career at this stage in your life, what do you want people to remember you for?
That I had a good business, that I was fair to people. I served the community by having a nice business that people like to come and enjoy their time and their stay here. We have a beautiful atmosphere. I want them to enjoy that. I want them to be able to relax and feel as if they've been somewhere and were treated with kindness and that they just love the experience and they want to come back.
So you're a people person. You have to be in this profession, I would assume.
Yes.
But you, as I've listened to you talk, I also hear resonating really the concept of community.
Yes.
That you have a network, not the community of the women and people who work here, but the broader community?
Yes.
How important is community to you?
Community is very important. I'm not a big pusher of, you know, I'm the best. I never liked that with people doing that. I know you have to do a little promoting when you're in business, but I think if you're doing good work and you're taking care of people, it all falls together.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a lot of work.
Mm-hmm.
And especially when you don't have the funds, you know, we couldn't have an elaborate place. We have a beautiful place now, but when I first started out, we rented a place, and we started that. And people really come back, and they respect you, and they support you, and it's all because they see the effort being made.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a wonderful feeling, but it takes work.
And so the people that come here, part of what I was hearing you say, they've made a commitment to you as well as you making
a
commitment to them.
They're very supportive, very just, you know, like family. I mean, it's like a family. You know, you have your good times and your bad times, but you support each other, and that's how you survive.
Yeah.
And, you know, even now, you know, with me cutting my hours and, you know, I'm out right now on leave. It's just that these people are still coming in, or they go to somebody else, you know, because we push that. We kind of say it'd be all right if somebody else did your hair. They're all very good. They mm-hmm. try their best. They, you know, they really want to do a good job. Mm-hmm. It's hard when somebody's been doing your hair for years and years and years, and then somebody else steps in and does it, you know?
Yeah, it's traumatic.
It's traumatic.
Yes. No, it's not. In fact, it's interesting because, you've cut my hair for 25 years.
Yes.
I was telling somebody that the other day, that I was going to be interviewing you, and they were asking, you know, the people that I interview, and I said, well, from political leadership to
exactly.
custodians to my hairstylist who's cut my hair for 25 years, and they went, she's cut your hair for the
yes.
same person? And I said, yeah. So when that disruption, you kind of go, oh.
Yes.
But, you know, because it is a community,
yes.
and you have built a business that's founded on trust, that whoever you assigned to cut my hair, which happened to be Tiffany, I trusted you,
yes.
you know, in that process.
Well, and that's why I don't like to center on myself, because I'm more of a we person than a me person. I like people working together. I don't like the focus on myself.
Mm-hmm.
That's my biggest thing.
So symbolically, and this is a tough question, but if this place were to burn down today, what one thing would you grab besides Tom? I assume there's no debate there. Well, one thing would you grab that would kind of summarize who you are?
Well, I think I'd have to grab the cats.
The cats.
The things can be replaced. It's the people. So I would concern myself with the people.
Yeah.
You know, and the cats, of course, are included. But it's, No. We're all going to go someday, and you're not going to be able to grab anything. It's going to be all done. So I'm going to try to do everything I can to, you know, have a good life and have a good life for everybody else while I'm here.
Yeah. Well, you're a gift. We're talking to Ann Welsh, the owner of Ann Welsh Salon here in Alexandria, Virginia. A good friend, someone I've known for, like I said, 25, 26 years. And thank you for your contribution.
Thank you, Jim.
To this podcast.
Thank you. It was very nice.
To find out more information about this conversation and other Legacy Podcast episodes, go to servantforge.org. Please subscribe to us on your favorite podcast app and consider leaving us a review. We want to hear from you. We want to get your ideas and your opinions. I have a new book that corresponds with the Legacy Project titled The Seeker, Bring Me the Horizon. You can find a copy of it on Amazon or your preferred book distributor. The book corresponds closely with these podcasts. The podcast episode was produced by Matt Erickson and edited by Carissa Erickson. The music is by David Hyde. Please look for a new episode of our podcast coming out soon. Remember, you have inherited a great legacy. You have an opportunity to create a great legacy. Engage your past to build a future.